Goodness. Let's talk about goodness. Let's do this together. Let's stand, read these two verses we read every week as we're walking through this idea that if you're a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus is the vine, you are the branch, and the responsibility then is to produce what, church? It's going to be fruit, man. It's a simple measurement of your life in Jesus. If you are a believer who's connected to Jesus, the vine and the branch produce fruit. And the Bible says that the branch in Jesus that bears no fruit is cut off and thrown into the fire, right? That's the measurement. So we're walking through what fruit looks like in our lives, in our relationship with Jesus, and we're walking through the fruits of the Spirit first. Says this, the fruit, right? The result of the relationship between me and Jesus, between you and Jesus, is what? It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness and self-control. And he says, against these things, there is no law. You can be seated. So we immediately know that everything that he talks about here is not going to be natural, right? We're not talking about your natural love, right? Your natural peace, your natural patience, right? He's talking about something supernatural that can only be produced through your surrender and my surrender to the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen, right? And so today we get to talk about goodness. We talked about kindness last week, right? Kindness is that thing that the Spirit produces in us because we love other people. The Bible says we should love the Lord your God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen, church? Kindness is the action that love takes when it does love other people. Because every person in here, every person online, knows the difference between somebody saying, I love you, and then doing nothing about it, right? Nothing more debilitating for your confidence level in another person when they say, I love you, and yet in that love, they don't do kind things to you. Love produces kindness. And kindness, according to Scripture, not your kindness, oh, they're just so sweet and kind, right? We're talking about biblical kindness that produces something helpful. The Bible says that kind of kindness leads a man to repentance. Amen, church? So the Holy Spirit's fruit of kindness is huge. It's so undermagnified in our life today. And goodness, man, goodness is the same way. Goodness has been a fun journey for me to study because it's one of those words that's sort of weird and complicated at the same time. So let's do a couple things here. First of all, we want to do this every week. We want to define what goodness is, right? We want to define it, right? The Bible's written in Greek, right? Koine Greek, and there's two words in the Greek language for good. The first word is what's called kalos, right? And kalos means something that is outwardly good, something that is outwardly attractive, like many of you sitting in here. Okay, all of you sitting in here, all right? Sorry, right? Outwardly attractive, that's good, right? And then there's the Greek word agathos, which is inwardly good. And what Paul says in Galatians 5 is that the fruit, the result of your relationship with Jesus, should be able to produce something that is intrinsically good, not just outwardly attractive, right? And here's the thing, you know this concept. You know this concept. How many of you have ever been sick, not felt well, and yet had to get dressed up to go do something you'd rather take a beating than go do? Right? How many of you have ever been sick at home, and yet because in spite of your sickness, you had to get up and go cook meal for your family? And how many of you have ever felt terrible and had to get up and go to work in spite of it? Right? Here's what you know. Intrinsically, you feel terrible. It's not good, right? But outwardly, you got to produce something that looks good. Right? You got to dress up, or you've got to cook a good meal, or you've got to get to work and give your best. That's the difference between kalos and agathos. One thing is appealing. One thing looks good to the eye, and another is internally good. Right? Let me read a passage of scripture that shows you both of these words in action. Matthew 7. Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. So outwardly they produce kalos, inwardly they're evil, right? He says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? No. Or figs from thistles? No. Look what he says. Likewise, every good tree, that's agathos, something that's intrinsically good, bears what? Good fruit. That's kalos. An inward tree that is intrinsically good will produce an outwardly good thing. He says, but a bad tree, right? This word means evil or anguish, right? Or toil, something that's very, very difficult. He says that kind of tree will bear bad fruit. He says a good tree, agathos, an intrinsically good tree cannot, everybody say this word, cannot bear evil fruit, right? Or hateful fruit. But a bad tree, something that's intrinsically bad, can't bear good fruit. He says every tree that doesn't bear good fruit, right? That is kalos, outwardly good, is cut down and thrown into the fire because by their fruit, you will recognize them. So here's the thing. All of you have been sick and gone to work, and somebody has said to you, even though you got up and you did your best to look presentable, somebody inevitably walked up to you and went, are you okay? You look sort of tired today, right? Anybody, right? Which is incredibly offensive, right? Are you okay? You don't look like you feel okay. So what they're saying is you can't hide the uck in you because outwardly you think it's good. It's not that attractive, right? You know that. And what the Bible is saying is outward kalos, something that's outwardly attractive, is produced by something that's inwardly good, something that's inwardly, and here's what he says, the fruit of the Spirit is that inner goodness. It's that inner thing you and I possess through the power of the Spirit that we can't produce on our own. And here, let me show you. So let's talk about the word deposit. Listen to Matthew 19. This is good. A man came to Jesus and asked, read it with me, church, teacher, what thing must I do to get eternal life? That word good there is agathos, right? What good thing, what intrinsically good thing can I do to get to heaven, right? Because there are many people, maybe watching online and maybe in here, that some of you think if I just do enough good, right? Or maybe you think, listen, I'm not all bad. I got good in me. That should be good enough to get to heaven. So he asked the question, basically, is there an intrinsic good I can possess that can get me to heaven? And Jesus said, why do you ask me? Why do you ask me about inner good? Jesus replied, read it with me, church. There is only one who is, there's only one. It's not you. It's not me. You and I may outwardly produce some good-looking things, right? We may actually produce something that to other people goes, man, that was really good. What you did was really, really good. Jesus says, only one. Bring that verse back up, would you please? He says, there is only one who is good, and he or she is not in here. And he or she is not watching online. There's only one who is good, and that is God. Listen to what Paul says in Romans, Mark 7. We read this two weekends ago. Jesus went on, what comes out of you makes that person unclean. For from within, out of our what? Hearts comes the opposite of good. Right, that word kakos that we talked about. Not kalos, but kakos, which is bad, evil. He says that's in our heart, and here's the stuff that comes with it. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these come from inside, and they make a man unclean. Paul said it this way in Romans. He said it this way in Romans 7, 18 through 19. I know, read it with me, church. I know that nothing lives in me. Agathos. I know that intrinsically that good is not in me. Jesus said there's only one who is intrinsically good, and that is who? That is God. It's not you and it's not me. We don't have the intrinsic good, and yet Jesus said, if you're connected to me, you will produce intrinsic good. Well, how do we do that if it's not in us? Because he goes on to say, right, that's in my sinful nature, for I have, tell me if this isn't us, you and me, for I have the desire to do what is intrinsically good, but I can't carry it out. Anybody? Right? For what I do is not the good or the inner good that I want to do. No, no, no. The evil, the opposite of this, right? The evil that I do not want to do, this, say it with me, I keep. Anybody? Yeah. And then he says this, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer me who does it, but it is the sin that lives in me that does it. Mark 7, where does that sin live? Right here. Your heart and my heart are not intrinsically good. Somebody say that's true. It's not in there. Only God possesses the good. But man, there is good news. Listen to this. Paul says this in Ephesians 2. Here's the deposit. Because listen, I don't know about you, but I've overdrafted a few checks in my life, right? This was back in the day before overdraft protection, right? The only overdraft protection I had back in the day was give my checking account control to somebody smarter than me, right? But I've overdrawn. I've overdrawn my account in the past, right? There's always a penalty for overdrawing your account, and you have to make up for what you ultimately tried to pay for with the bad check in the first place. There's many people online in here that think that with their own goodness, they can get to God. They can make it to heaven. And the reality is your bank account morally is overdrawn. You have nothing to offer to get to heaven. It's not in you, it's not in me, because intrinsically we are not good. We're not. For from within a heart of mankind comes evil. It's just there. There's only one who's good. Paul says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourself, it's a gift from God. Anybody got anything to say about that? Anybody got anything to say about that? Right? How many of you are grateful that God has a plan to get you home, even though your plan can't get you home? Somebody say yes, right? That's his plan. And he says, it's not by the things that you do. It's not by the outward kalos, the outwardly attractive things, so that you and I can't boast. Listen, if you're a believer online and in here, let me hear you say amen. There is no boasting. There is no pride in you about that, because you did nothing to deserve it. Somebody say amen. Pride should never be in a church, ever. If Christians develop pride, God will take you down. It doesn't work, because we were saved by God's plan for his goodness to get to us, because our goodness couldn't get to him. And I'm grateful for that. How about you? And he says this, check this out. We, say me. If you know Jesus, this is you. You and I are God's workmanship. Now read it with me. Created in Christ Jesus to agathos. Bring that verse back up. Agathos. Once saved, once Jesus made the deposit in you, now guess what you are expected to do? Created in Christ Jesus, God's plan to get his goodness to us, since our goodness couldn't get to him, now the deposit says, now we are to do what with it? To do good works, not kalos, not things that people walk around and go, oh, you're amazing, but the kind of things that come now from a heart that has intrinsic good in it. You were created to produce that intrinsic good. And not only were you created to do it, look what he says. He says, not only were created to do it, but God prepared in advance for you to do it. It has been God's expectation since you have become a believer in Jesus to have intrinsic good in you. That's God's expectation. God created. He made this new thing out of something that was old and broken. He made this new thing and said, now, because of Jesus, God's goodness, right, to make up for our lack of goodness, now, here's my expectation. Be intrinsically good. Be intrinsically good, because that has been my plan for you from the beginning, right? What a deposit. Colossians 1, Paul says it this way. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And he said, and we pray this in order that you right here, right now, may live a life worthy of the Lord, may please him in every way. Read it with me, church. Bearing fruit in every agathos, every intrinsic good work, growing in the knowledge of the Lord. It is God's desire and God's expectation that if you know Jesus, that the deposit of that intrinsic good was put in you, you are now to bear fruit that represents that good work. We get so wrapped up in trying to get you to modify your behavior. You're drinking? Stop. You're getting drunk? Stop. You're cussing? Stop. You're watching porn? Stop. We get so caught up in you have to modify your behavior that guess what happens? Only people who produce a certain kind of DNA that allows for self-discipline can actually achieve behavior modification, right? How many of you have lost and gained the same 5 pounds for 35 years, right? How many of you have struggled with the same struggle for the last 30 years? Right? You know that struggle. And what happens? If I can't modify my behavior according to what's being preached from the pulpit, then I feel like a failure. Ever go to church and walk away feeling like a failure? If you don't, you shouldn't come on Wednesday. You should go to Sunday morning at 9:30, okay? No, I'm just kidding, right? Sorry, my bad. Probably shouldn't have said that. Aaron's going to find me afterwards and go, dude, what are you doing? Right? Listen, the reality is behavior modification is not the expectation. A life that produces good is the expectation. The expectation is now that you've been given this deposit of genuine good, that should be what exists in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reality is this. Paul said, sometimes I want to do good, but I don't do good. As a matter of fact, I do the thing I don't want to do that's bad. And sometimes the bad I want to do, I don't do. I do the good. Anybody relate to that? Paul says the flesh and the spirit lust against each other. So sometimes we don't do what we want. There's been times where my evil hearts wanted to do evil and the spirit said no. And I went, fine, right? And there's been times where the spirit has said, don't do that. And my heart said, please. And I went, sure, right? Anybody? Everybody knows that struggle. But if you're reminded over and over and over again that it is the grace of God, somebody say the grace of God, the act and plan of God to give you the goodness you need to get to him, because your plan and your goodness couldn't get to him, he says that grace should teach you to say no. That's how you modify your behavior. Because you're reminded that I can't do this on my own. I can't produce what God needs from me on my own, right? There's no way to do it. And let me remind us of this. Listen to this little thing in Luke 10. I love this little story. Jesus and his disciples were on their way, and they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him, right? She had a sister called Mary, right? Mary, check her out. Jesus shows up, and she sat at the Lord's feet listening to what Jesus said, but Martha was what? Distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So Martha, in her frustration, came to Jesus and asked. I mean, can you imagine having this kind of relationship with Jesus? Right? She just walks into Jesus and gets right in his face. Don't you care that my sister is basically being lazy? She's left me to do the work by myself. Jesus, would you tell her to help me? Tattletale, tattletale, right? Look what Jesus says. Martha, Martha. I mean, how many times do you think God has wanted to echo your name twice? Because you've been so distracted by all these things. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. But the only thing, everybody say the only thing. The only thing is needed. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is good. What, and it will not be taken away from her. Listen, if you don't know Jesus tonight, online and here, my guess is your life is distracted by many things. And Jesus said there's only one thing. And he says, you've got to choose the good, because once you choose it, it won't be taken away from you, right? Man, if you don't know Jesus, that's the beginning step for all of us, right? Is to understand that my plan for good can't get me to heaven. God's plan for good cannot just get me to heaven, but can give me a purpose for why I even exist in the first place. And he said, and from that, that good won't be taken from you. And so if you need to accept Jesus tonight, man, we'll be here after the service to answer your questions, right? We'll be online to answer your questions if you push the button, I have decided. We want you to know the only thing that produces good is Jesus. Somebody say amen, right? What a deposit God has made into us, because our good can't get us home. Instead, home came and got us by giving us his goodness. And he says, now, I need you to produce good. So here are the dividends, right? The good news about putting money in a bank or in a money market money account, right, is that hopefully when you put a dollar in, it produces a dividend. Here's the thing. If you know Jesus online, you know Jesus in here, somebody say amen. God has deposited in you now the Holy Spirit. Jesus has come and done his work. He died and was risen from the dead and was taken to heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you and me and waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. Amen? But he said, I'm going to leave you something better than me. I'm going to deposit my Holy Spirit in you. And that Holy Spirit in you is going to produce intrinsic good. There needs to be dividends in your life. There needs to be a tangible evidence that you're connected to the vine. So he says in Romans 12:1, here's the first step, right, for many of us. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Listen, you're not gonna like this. You're not gonna wanna do this. Whether it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, or so, you're not gonna wanna do this. If you're not willing to sacrifice yourself, your life, to do this, you're gonna struggle to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody say that's true, right? He says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Why? Because it's holy, it's pleasing to God, and let's be honest, it's your spiritual act of worship, right? Our verbal act of worship is to praise and to sing. Our spiritual act of worship is to sacrifice ourselves so that God could do his work in us. And then he says this, do not conform. Stop acting, right, like the pattern of the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Say it with me, church. His pleasing and perfect will. Listen, part of the reason why you don't know what good intrinsically that God wants to produce in you is because your mind is still conformed to the pattern of the world. You haven't renewed it. You still think negatively. Right? You still think critically. You still think, right, pleasure. You still think arrogance. You still think unforgiveness, right? Many of you still have the same mindset that you had before you accepted Jesus, and you wonder why I can't get to what is good. I can't figure out what good it is that God wants me to do. He says this, you got to transform your mind. You gotta figure out what garbage to take out of that thing and what new to put in it. You gotta gut the kitchen. That old refrigerator ain't working anymore. Right? That old mindset that operates on fear ain't working anymore. That old mindset of Chicken Little, like, oh my gosh, the sky is falling every time a pebble hits your shoulder, ain't working anymore. He says, if you want to be a Christian that knows the intrinsic good that God wants to do in you, you're gonna have to change the way you think. Paul says, do what? Think on things that are good and pure and noble and right, things that have a good report, right? We've got to start thinking about different things, right? If we want to know the good, the intrinsic good that this tree should produce, we've got to change the way we think. Somebody say amen, right? That's a complicated challenge because the world is just inundating us with nonsense, right? YouTube and social media and music, TVs and music, right? False teachers, everything's coming at our brain, right? We don't live in the information age. That's not what we live in. We've got to figure out how to process information, right? Because the reality is we're not stopping it anymore. The floodgates have been opened and your life and mine have been exposed to more information than we can process. Is that true? We've got to learn how to be a processor. Paul says, if you're a Christian who possesses the presence of the Holy Spirit, think differently. You got to renew that thing. And what does he say? You got to renew it how often? Every day. Every day. Because it takes that long. And all of a sudden, you're negative again. And all of a sudden, you're fearful again. And all of a sudden, your mouth is full of curse words again. And all of a sudden, you fill in the blank. Your mind is thinking and acting and producing that, right? Here's another one. 2 Timothy 2 says this. This is true for so many people in church, right? For some of you, the mind of the battle or the battle of the mind, you're working on, you're getting it. But some of us are failing here. He says, in a large house, there are articles not only for gold and silver, but of wood and clay. There's these really, really, really proper things, and there's these really, really, really common things. He says, some are for noble purpose, and some are for ignoble, right? Some of these things are for high usage, and some of them are for really common usage, right? How many of you online in here have fine china? These are my people. Listen, if you own paper plates and plastic plates, plastic is your fine china, right? Right? He says, we have things that we only bring out for the noble purposes, and we have things that we bring out for the ignoble purposes. Look what he says. If a person cleanses themselves from the latter, the ignoble, right? That rotten, right? That garbage, that trash. He said, if we clean ourselves from that, that person, everybody say me, right? You will be an instrument for, say it, purposes. You're made holy. You, listen to this, useful to the master and prepared to do what? See, part of the problem in producing good in some of us isn't that our minds aren't transformed. It's that our insides are just full of rot. He says this, look at this, just flee evil desires. Some of you online, some of you in here can't get to every good work because you're still acting as if your life is designed for trash. I'm just a trash can. My childhood was terrible. I was abused. I was neglected. I was abandoned. I was betrayed. I was this. And you think you have no value. So your life is, let's just fill it with garbage. Bad relationships, terrible expectations. People can take advantage and abuse me. And I have no use whatsoever. And here's what he says. As long as you keep that stuff in that place, you will always be nothing but a trash can. And he said, if you want to get past that and you actually want to be used for noble purposes, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Stop fleeing the rot in your heart. Stop fleeing the negativity. Stop pursuing the negativity. Stop pursuing sexual immorality. Stop pursuing drunkenness. Stop pursuing dishonesty. Stop pursuing greed. And guess what? When you clean the ignoble out, somebody pulls you out and says, man, let's use this for every good work. That's why so many Christians can't be used. It's not because they lack desire. They just lack a clean receptacle. Nobody wants to eat their highfalutin meal out of a trash can sitting on empty wrappers and discarded half-eaten bananas. God can't use you while your life is filled with trash because you refuse to flee from youthful desires. It won't work. And he says this, flee the desires of youth, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, right? Along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There's just some things, church, we got to get out of the trash can for God to go, I can use you, right? There's some things you got to get out of your mind for God to say, now I can use you for good. And those, listen, those are works that are so natural to our flesh that if it isn't our willingness to sacrifice our bodies as living sacrifices, we'll never get there. That's why so many Christians just stay stuck for 5 years and 10 years. Because they just don't want to die to themselves. But they come to church, they raise their hands and they sing, and yet their life, it's just full of that stuff, right? Romans 12, 9 says this, love must be sincere. Read it with me, church. Hate what is, cling to what is not outwardly good. Not outwardly good, cling to what's intrinsically good. Why? Because the word cling there is a present, indicative, active Greek word, meaning this is something you gotta be doing every day. You don't just grab on it one day and, hell, I had a really good day. Today I hated evil and I'm clinging to what's good and that's gonna last for a week. Nope. You're gonna have to hold on to that thing every day because the world with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is tugging and pulling at you to participate in it. If you don't hate it and cling to the good, it'll be gone just like that. Romans 15 says this, right? Or Romans 12, 21 says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's an intrinsic goodness that is greater than the evil that's in the world. Somebody say amen. Listen, we live in an evil world, yes? Why did it become acceptable for the church to act toward evil with more evil? We won't change anything by participating in the same rhetoric and the same evil that the world participates in. Oh, but you don't understand, Cord, these people are just trying to destroy our nation. Satan's trying to destroy you and your children and your friends and your neighbors. And here's what he says, intrinsic good overcomes evil. Not Facebook rants, not screaming and hollering, but good. Intrinsic good overcomes evil. Listen to this one. This will be for some of us. Matthew 12 says this, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything intrinsically good? For out of the overflow of your heart, the what? The mouth. Whoo! Some of us got some rot in the heart, don't we? Based on what we say. He says the good man, intrinsically good, brings good things, kalos, attractive things, out of the good stored up in him. Right? He goes this, and the evil man brings evil things, rotten things, out of the rotten stored up in him. Listen to this. I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment, read it with me, for every careless word they have spoken. It's going to be a long day for some of us. Right? He says this, look at this. For by your words, everybody say, my words. For by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Paul says this in Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome, that is rotten, right? Something that's putrid, don't let that come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful, right? building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Helpful, good, agathos. The words that you speak to your wife, your husband, the words that you speak to your children, to your family members, to your coworkers, to church people, to the neighbor down the street that has vote Biden and Harris on their or on their car. The Bible says this: give what is good. Give what is intrinsically good for building others up according to their need. Why? Because by our words, we will be condemned, and by our words, we will be acquitted. Proverbs says this: there is power of life and death in the tongue, right? If you have intrinsic good, man, it's going to be reflected in how you speak. It's just that simple, right? What a painful, painful lesson to have to learn, right? Which is why the Bible says you should be quick to listen and slow to speak, because most of us, Our words are pretty rough sometimes, right? How about this one? Listen to Romans 15. He says, we who are strong ought to bear with the, everybody say it, failings of the, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Intrinsic good. Here's what he says. Part of our fruit and possessing and producing goodness should be for our neighbor. Jesus said this way: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your as yourself. He says the fruit of goodness can be seen in giving that to our neighbor. Listen to this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Anybody in here want to admit being guilty of that? Right? That's a Saturday night question, not here, right? Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be kind, agathos. Everything that we do should not be wrong for wrong, but always try to be good to each other and everyone else. Challenge for us today in 2024, yes or no? Yeah, really tough. Challenge in your home, yes or no? Yeah, very, very challenging. How about this one? He says it this way in Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, read it with me, church, let us do to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Listen, if God's Holy Spirit is producing goodness in you, it will be reflected in the way that you treat your neighbors, and according to Scripture, to all people. As a pastor, I've never understood why there's so much hatred, so much unkindness in the church of God. I've been a part of ministry for 35 years. Some of the meanest people I've ever seen are church people and the way that they talk about other people. Should never be. It should never be. Do we disagree? Yes. Yes. Vehemently sometimes. But that doesn't mean the intrinsic good that God deposited in us through the Holy Spirit can't produce something good for our neighbor. Listen, if you're a Christian online, if you're a believer in Jesus in here, the reality is this: your life is expected to produce intrinsic good that God prepared that you would be doing, which means our words matter. How we treat others matters, right? Let's wrap it up with Luke 8:15. It says this: but the seed, the word of God. How many of you own a Bible, read a Bible, have a Bible on your phone and paper? How many of you have a Bible, right? He says that seed, that word on good, intrinsic soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce fruit. That's the goal. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that God decided to deposit his good in me so I could get home. Anybody else? Amen. And here's this thing. That deposit comes with an expectation. And the expectation is that deposit should overcome your flesh and produce good, intrinsic good, in your words, in your actions to other people, by how you clean your vessel, by how you renew your mind, right? Romans 2 says this, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing agathos, intrinsic good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, God will give what? Eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and simply follow the rot, there will be wrath and anger. Man, God's desire is that you do good, that you are intrinsically pursuing good as a result of your internal life, because if it is not, there is being stored up for you a God who will demonstrate his wrath and his anger towards you. It's not a pleasant perspective, right? And I want to encourage you with this verse that really encouraged me today. Romans 8. In the same way the Spirit helps in our weaknesses and we don't know when we ought to pray for, the Spirit will himself will intercede for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Anybody in here ever been so overwhelmed they didn't know how to pray? Be encouraged that the Holy Spirit knows what's going on, knows how to take that pain, that anguish, and intercede for you. Right? And listen to this. And we know, everybody say, I know. Right? The devastation and the tragedy that's playing out in Florida and Georgia and Tennessee and North Carolina is beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension. Right? Lots of people who are surviving on the knowledge that the Spirit is interceding for them in accordance with God's will. He says, we know. I know. That in all things, even this God, because outwardly, it's not good, right? And we're so concerned with God giving us good things outwardly. Why does a good God, intrinsic God, give us outwardly bad things like a hurricane that destroys and wipes out so many people in their lives? Anybody ever wonder that? Yeah. He says, I know that in all things, God works for the intrinsic good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I don't know how he does it. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't know why he does it this way. But in spite of what we're going through, God's never wasting any of it. He's always collecting it to build your intrinsic good. I don't know what terrible thing you're enduring. I know what millions are enduring because it's plastered all over the TV. And we sit here and we see it, but unless you're in it, you don't know it. Just like unless I'm in your struggle, in your family dynamic, in your marital trouble, in your financial woes, I don't know the pain that you're going through or the suffering. And Paul says this, I know, everybody say, I know, in all things, God's gonna work it for my intrinsic good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And Paul says in Philippians 1:6, he writes it this way, I'm confident of this, that he who began that intrinsic work in me will carry it on to completion until the day that Jesus comes. Amen. I'm grateful that God won't give up on me in spite of the fact that things that I know that are good that I want to do, instead I do the evil that I don't want to do. God promises me, Cord, no matter what, I'm going to work everything for that intrinsic good and the work that I started in you, I'm never going to give it up. Not until the day of completion when Jesus returns. So I want us to end this together by reading a prayer from Scripture in the struggle to surrender to goodness. Why don't you stand? Let's read these words that the Hebrew writer puts together in regard to goodness. Read these as your prayer as we struggle to figure out how to let God's Spirit produce the intrinsic good that our flesh doesn't want to. Read it with me, church. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen, church. Father, tonight, thank you for your word. Your word, its desire is to equip us to do every good work. Sometimes it rebukes, and sometimes it corrects, and sometimes it trains in righteousness so that the man and the woman of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May your Spirit unleash its power through the power of your word in our minds and our hearts to transform us into people who are willing to seek that intrinsic good that you deposited in us a long time ago. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you, church.